Good morning. Welcome, everyone. It's wonderful to see everyone here this morning. Palm Sunday, beautiful Sunday morning. It's great to see everybody here. Welcome to everyone. I'm going to start with just going over a couple announcements. First of all, tonight is Love Feast. There's just a real little blurb here on the one side, but I just want to remind everyone it's at 6:30 tonight. So we're hoping to see a lot of people out for that tonight. Next Sunday, of course, is Easter. We'll start Easter morning with our sunrise service. It's in here, but I just wanted to remind people that we'll be having the sunrise service at 7 o'clock, and then anybody that's interested, we will be having breakfast. And the tickets are $2, so you can either get them ahead of time or you can come that morning. That'll be, you know, fine. There's a lot of other announcements. I don't think I need to review all of them. Today, we do have the one-day pay today, so just wanted to remind you of that. Does anybody else have any announcements before we go on? Okay, well, you know what? Before we get started, we're going to be a little out of order today. I think we want to just quiet our hearts here for a minute, and let's just pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much that we can be here today, here to worship you, our loving and awesome God. In this Easter season, we want to just thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to earth and then having him die for us on the cross for our sins. We are just so unworthy, but you love us anyway. May we always try to be loving and obedient to you, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings you give, each and every one of us. We are just so, so blessed. We just don't always think about it, but we really, really have so many blessings. May we share them with others. Please be with those that are sick, Lord. Lay a comforting hand on them and their loved ones. And be with those who are going through rough times. May they seek guidance and strength. Help us to trust in you and to be obedient, Lord. Let us put our faith in you. You always know what's best for us. And thank you so much that today we will have a wonderful time of sharing with Teen Challenge. We look forward to this. We look forward to having worship and have them share their faith and experiences with us. May we be receptive to their message, and may we all be uplifted by today's service. You are an awesome God, Lord. May we always praise and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we're just going to have an offertory hymn. We're going to have the ushers come front, and we are going to collect our offering. So if the ushers want to come forward, please. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for our blessings. Please thank you for all the tithes and offerings we're about to receive. May we use those to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing 106 in the blue hymnal.
Bring forth the royal diadem.
now we look forward to hearing from the Teen Challenge Choir, and Bob Costanza will take it from here. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. God bless all of you. And we have come to worship the Lord and to praise his name. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't be here. And that's why we're praising him, because of what he's done for us. And so anyway, we're so delighted to be with you. This is the Teen Challenge Choir from the Teen Challenge Center, just a few miles down the road. And this is probably as close to Teen Challenge as we've sung in a while. Usually we're traveling a good distance every Sunday morning, everywhere we travel. And so anyway, it's nice to be close to home and to see some folks that are real close to home. And but anyway, we'd just like to tell you our names and tell you where we're all from. We all live at the center, but we're from many different places. And my name is Bob Costanza, and I've been a Teen Challenge staff member. I'm well into my 27th year, so that's a long time. And it's been a very exciting 27 years. But I'm originally from Queens, New York, and God brought me into the country. And I love the country. I wouldn't want to go back to New York to live. Yeah, I love this country living. Okay, here we go.
Hi, my name is Sean. I'm from Rochester, New York.
Good morning. My name is Paul, and I'm from Chicago, Illinois.
Good morning. My name is Cody, and I'm from Lenoir, North Carolina.
Hi, my name is Scott. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ryan. I'm from Syracuse, New York.
Hi, everyone. I'm Trevor, and I'm from York, Pennsylvania.
Hi, guys. My name is Ryan. I'm from Westchester, Pennsylvania.
And Mike is running the sound and music for us. He's from Syracuse, New York. And Brother Chris McFadden is right here. And Chris is he's the executive director of the center there in Rarsburg, and he's going to share a little bit later. But we're going to sing and share some testimonies, and I hope something that we say or some song will just be a blessing and will be uplifting. And we've come to worship the Lord.
We will worship the King of Kings.
My name's Scott. I'm 42 years old. I was brought up in an alcoholic family. I was raised to believe that alcohol wasn't that bad. You know, it was just a thing to do. So I was never really taught the dangers of it. Never paid attention to school. So never really educated anything about it. I just thought it was normal. And there was no limits to it. So one night, when I was 16 years old, I once consumed 2.5 fifths in like 8 to 10 hours time. I died 3 times that evening. Once on scene, I was going to a little Kogo's convenience store. I died right there on the spot. Paramedics arrived, police arrived. Paramedics brought me back, loaded me on the ambulance. On the way to the hospital, I died. Brought me back again. Got to the hospital, got my parents there. My father watched me die the 3rd time on the operating table. They pumped my stomach full of charcoal, induced vomiting, ran all kinds of tests, took blood to find out if that's all I was on, just alcohol. Next day, my blood toxicology test came back and I had a blood alcohol content of 0.412. And 0.400, they say you're dead. So that explained it. You know, that should have been enough right there to scare me straight. But I chose a life of alcoholism. For the next 26 years of my life, my life was like that of a roller coaster. Sometimes I ate like a king. Sometimes I was worrying where I was getting my next meal from. During my haze of alcoholism, you know, I slept in this house and that house and this apartment and that apartment. My life was just up and down to the fullest. Sometimes I'd even get my meal out of a dumpster. You know, I would do anything just to get that bottle. I'll make sure all my bills were covered, make sure I got gas back and forth to work, and that's all that mattered. And I would make sure I always had enough for the alcohol, but I would always lack on the food. Somewhere. I stooped so low and I almost came to the brink of losing everything, where one day I reached out and I asked my aunt and uncle for help, and they agreed, and they helped me in every way that those who love one another help each other. And one day I was laying down in their basement and thinking about the Lord. Went up from the basement into my aunt's kitchen. She says, "Now what? 42 years old, Scott, what are you going to do? How do you expect us to help you? You can't even help yourself. Look at you. You're a mess. You're about ready to lose everything." My uncle says, "You know what your future is? It's a cardboard box. You know, there's no help for you." And I was like, "Well, how about we start by going to church?" So we went to church that day. And, you know, I don't believe anything in this world happens just to happen. I believe God has a plan for everything. Because the day that I went to church, the pastor, okay, he was a friend of mine. And, you know, he was a rough kid. And now he's a pastor of a church. And the message he was saying that day was John chapter 14, verse 6, where I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Nothing goes to the Father except through me. And that night when I was laying in my aunt and uncle's basement, I had a warm sensation coming over me and tingling pins and needles, and I'm thinking, you know what? I just hear a voice inside me that says, "Are you ready to follow me?" You know, so I figured, you know what? Maybe there's something to this God thing. Why not try it? Why not see where it takes me? So shortly thereafter, next day, we're looking around different rehabs. I've already tried Greenbrier. It didn't work. I tried AA. It didn't work. I tried NA. It didn't work. I tried Gateway. It didn't work. So my family and my pastor together, they're like, "You know, we found this place. It's called Teen Challenge." I'm like, "What's that? I ain't got time for a kid program. I'm 42 years old. What the heck is Teen Challenge?" And he says, no, you don't understand. It's a place for adults. You know, you can go there and you can get help. It's faith-based. You say you want to try God, well, try them." So I enrolled. have anger issues. You know, I live with 170 men on that mountain, and it's rough. You know, they all have different personalities. They all have different attitudes. You know, I had a lot of pride issues. I used to drown that pride away with alcohol. And now I don't have that luxury of life, or should I say that defect of way of doing things. Now God's starting to show me, you know, there's other ways of dealing with those pressures. It's called humble. Be humble. You know, so now every day I try to practice James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for anger per angry person does not produce the righteousness of the Lord. And I try to put that in my daily walk. And I try to listen to things that I've been taught at Teen Challenge. You know, the way I thought God was a year ago was some fluffy, white-bearded guy that sat up on a cloud and I was waiting for a voice or an appearance. Now I realize God dwells with inside me. And all I got to do is let him out. Take that shell off of my heart and just let him out. You know, because he lives inside me. So Teen Challenge, I can honestly say, has taught me a lot about spirituality, and has taught me the difference between a godly thing and the Holy Ghost. With that, I'm excited to see what the next.
Thank you.
said, "My child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving seat now, and I'm going to introduce Mr. Chris McFadden, who is our executive director, and he will share about the ministry of Teen Challenge, whatever is on his heart.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation. It's excellent to be here with you. Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me okay? All right, I'm looking to the back there. How many of you know about Teen Challenge? Maybe a better question is, how many of you don't know about Teen Challenge? So then the thing I don't have to do is go through all the history, because I figured most of you would already know. But I will just briefly touch on our campus in Rarysburg, because this is an exciting year for us, and I love to tell the story of how it started and then where we're at today. When David Wilkerson began the ministry in New York City and at that point said, hey, we need to find a place in order to have folks outside of the city, David Wilkerson was in Lebanon, and he was preaching to a Mennonite church and casting the vision for a Teen Challenge. And a local farmer, some of you may know the family, I would assume so, came up after the service and said, we've got a place for you in Rarysburg, Pennsylvania. And he brought that news back to the advisory committee in New York City and said, we found a place in Rarysburg, Pennsylvania. And what do you think their response was? What is Rarysburg? Same response that I had when I found out about Teen Challenge. But they all went up to Rarysburg, up on God's Mountain, and I can see the spot now up on top of the hill. And looking over one side into the town with the church steeples, you could see that have been there for a very long time. Then the other side where it's just the church, the farming the fields. And there were trees up there. You know, it's hard to see now with all the stuff that's on the property. But they had a moment, a really special moment, where David Wilkerson broke a twig off of a tree, and he kneeled down. He stuck this twig into the ground, and they all kneeled and prayed and claimed that ground for the work of the ministry. And that was in 1962. And now in 2017, we are celebrating our 55th year this year to see the work that has been accomplished through over a half a century and the thousands of lives that have been changed through the ministry of Teen Challenge, all through an obedient heart from David Wilkerson and a big vision that I'm sure he could never imagine where that vision would go. And I think when we think today of our vision for whatever the future looks like in an organization that we represent, that many times, if not all of the time, our vision is not necessarily the Lord's vision, because our vision is much too small. I've heard it said that if we can obtain and attain our vision that we have for the future, then it's not the Lord's vision, because His is so much bigger than anything you could imagine that it's hard to even put your arms around that. So my goal for today, I want to tell you, now that we're here in 2017, why we're doing what we're doing, what we are doing, and how we are doing it. Pretty simple. Our most recent journey has led us to a name change, which, as everybody I'm sure has heard the argument before, and we heard it even this morning in the testimony, a place called Teen Challenge for Adults. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So we have, for the past year or two, been working on branding, and this has gone all the way to the corporate office in Springfield, Missouri. And we are, and we actually have already, changed our Doing Business Hour DBA name to Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge. So that's the name you're going to be seeing us using a whole lot more, probably definitely within the next month or so. And if you're around campus, you'll start to see new signs. If you go online, there'll be a new website and all of these things, so that we're very clear as to the population we serve, which is adults. Pretty simple. Many of you have already known this, and you've known this for a long time. But for those who have never heard of Teen Challenge, and as we heard in a testimony this morning, many people that need Teen Challenge think, I don't want to go to a place for kids. And we want to end that. So most recently, we've been really looking at, you know, why do we exist? Why are we doing what we're doing? Because we've been in a great time of expanding our services. And a couple of the basic reasons as to why Teen Challenge exists and why we do what we do right down the street. Number one, to preserve life. In today's day and age, many, many lives are lost due to overdose deaths, and I'll read some statistics here in a moment. Provide an extended level of care, so individuals have a longer period of time to go through a process of recovery, and to really be an asset to the local church in order to help you with something that we specialize in, so that we can come alongside you and provide services for those with addiction. And then ultimately is to allow the folks in our long-term program the many opportunities to get to know the Lord Jesus. And that's the main big picture as to why we do what we do. But today, if you watch the news or you read the papers, you see this opioid epidemic like it's never been before, truly epidemic proportions, as you look on the news or you read in a newspaper. And here are a couple statistics that have woken me up in the middle of the night many, many times. The Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, and I state this quote everywhere I go, between the years 2000 and 2014, 14 years, over 500,000 overdose deaths. 500,000. That far supersedes deaths now, even from car accidents and things of that nature. 500,000. Sometimes people tell me they don't even know what to do with that stat. How do you even put your arms around a statistic like that? But let's bring it to Pennsylvania. In 2015, 3,500 overdose deaths in the state of Pennsylvania in 2015. Just in this state. And then I've heard reports from some government officials that estimate in 2016 the numbers will reach 5,000 overdose deaths. That's a 42% increase from the year before. And what do you think the trend is going to be in 2017? It's going to continue to rise. And that is, if you take that, think of that, 5,000 here, with the amount of states that we have, if you even averaged them out somewhere near 4,000, think how quickly you get to 500,000 these days. So the epidemic is growing, and it's growing strong, and it's growing fast. But to even have 500,000 people that have died between 2000 and 2014, it tells you this is not a new problem. This is something that has been happening for a very long time. I myself am also a graduate of Teen Challenge, came into the program in 2006, and over the past 10 years have developed, I've gotten to know the Lord, and for many of you that are in this room that have supported Teen Challenge for many years, I am one of the folks that you supported back in 2006, so thank you for doing that. And then thank you also for supporting these men today as they're walking through their journey in 2017. So that's a big why reason as to why we're looking at doing new and expanded things. The epidemic is like it's never been, And obviously, many, many individuals need help. And that's what we exist to do, to help those who are lost and caught in addiction. So the Lord led us on a journey, and I'm going to kind of transition into the what piece. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and I'm going to read this text because this has truly been the highest point for us in terms of our prayerful consideration of how are we doing what we're doing and why are we doing things. So let me read this text to you. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And this is from the English Standard Version. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, and this is one of the points to grab a hold of, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, and here's another one, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, and this is another one, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. A few pieces here. We have the deeper waters, we have catching more fish, and we have fishers of men. And these have been three things that have really gripped our hearts as we have thought about how do we develop and help more people. So through this, the deeper waters, we developed a vision back in sometime in 2016, I want to say back in January of 2016, we titled this thing Project 80. And it was the text, the part that I read that put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. What we started doing is we started asking our admissions team, the people that are on the phones with the individuals who are calling for help, what are the people calling for? What do they need? And the statistics were a bit staggering for me. We found that our long-term program was catching, and I'll use that language, about 20 out of every 100 calls. And we saw that as something that needed remedy. We went to our board, we developed this vision Project 80, and everybody overwhelmingly agreed that we need to do more. So the concept of Project 80 is that we wanted to be able to provide services for 80 of every 100 clients or candidates that call us for help. We found that these candidates, they were looking for our current long-term program, which has been the foundation and continues to be of our ministry for 55 years. But we also found something else, and no matter who we talked to, whether it was individuals on the phone, whether it was government officials, whether it was the Department of Drug and Alcohol Programs, whether it was pastors in churches or other folks in the community, the overwhelming response was detox. And we thought, boy, we never really thought of a detox center where we exist, we're at our place. But that was the number one, overwhelmingly number one need of every group we talked to. Short-term programming. We're talking the 30-day type of program models. This is what many people were calling for. You think of behavioral health issues. You think of people who have a primary addiction issue, and then they have a secondary mental health type of issue going on. And then think of outpatient programming. Now, we've expanded those things a couple times. Originally, they were only 5, and I was saying, hey, we need 80%, so my percentages are a little off. But we already named the Vision Project 80, so we're sticking with it. But in order to catch more fish, and this is really how we're doing what we're doing here, and this is really important, and this is valuable for the local church. we needed more than one size net. You see, we've always had a net, and using this biblical illustration here, but the net only caught one size fish. And we started asking the question, well, how do we tighten up the mesh on this net in order to help more fish get caught in this net? Because the way the text reads is they caught so many fish that they started to sink, and they had to call for help to bring these fish into shore. So casting the nets in the deeper waters, catching more fish, it led us to say, if individuals are in great need of a variety of services, then why not let us be the ones to provide them? Because people are going to go somewhere. When they're on the phone with us and they say, we need help, but we need this program that we don't offer, they're going to go somewhere else. Either they're going to go to another treatment center, they're going to go potentially to a hospital, or they're going to become part of those statistics and they're going to go into the ground. And we said, we have to do more. So as of March 13th, literally just a few weeks now, we opened the first detox facility, state-licensed detox facility, in the history of Teen Challenge throughout the world. And this is a very notable addition to our program, because many times when folks like you call us, you're looking for a program, and every single pastor I've talked to over the past year and a half, I've asked them the question, what do you do when you have somebody who has an addiction problem? Who do you call? And the first answer is always what we call Teen Challenge. And my follow-up question is, what do you do when an individual then tells you that they can't go away for a 14-month-long program? And every single time, it's not the pastor doesn't say, well, at that point, we stop helping. They then place them in another opportunity to get them help. And many times, if not all the time, these are other secular programs that are out in the community. And some of these places are doing decent work. They're doing good work. But we took that as a sign that we have to do something in order to be a resource for you. So that when you call and you know somebody in your family, whether it's you, a friend, a family member, and you're saying, I have so-and-so who has an addiction need, you can now call us, and we will be there to provide a service for you on the spot, like we've never done before. If you called us at 12 o'clock this afternoon, the individual could be in our program by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, when before it would take a week or so, or maybe even 2 weeks to get somebody into the program. So in order to catch more fish, we said we have to do more, because if there's 500,000 people who died between 2000 and 2014, and the numbers are rising as we see just from the state level, 42% a year, there's a serious, serious problem, and we felt compelled by the Lord through prayer to do more. So as I was saying, as of March 13th, we now have a detox program. We now have a short-term program to go alongside our fundamental, our foundational long-term program. And the goal for each and every person that comes through our programs is for an individual to go into a detox bed, to see the need for short-term care, and ultimately to transition into long-term care, into our long-term program. And we're currently seeing between 50 and 70% of the individuals who enter the short-term program are now committing themselves to go through the long-term program. And all of these calls were calls before that we simply said, sorry, we cannot help you. We don't have that service. Now today we do. So it's an exciting time at Teen Challenge with expanding. A couple of numbers and I'll be done here in a minute or two. Prior to March of 2017, the most people we had ever brought into the program in 1 month was 37 people. And that's a lot of people to bring in a month. In March, that just got done, we brought in 75 people due to the program expansion. 75, we more than doubled the highest number we've ever had. Think of that. We would normally serve around 400 people a year. If we brought in 75 people a month, think of now the reach that we have that we never had before. We'd be doubling plus our numbers, and that was only the very first month. So our goal, like these folks, I'm sure these fishermen, when they were had full nets and they started to sink, I'm sure in a sense they were a little frightened. But I'm sure that once they got to the shore, they weren't so sad. I'm sure they were probably very happy that they had so many fish that they didn't even know what to do with it, because they had now they had a lot of opportunities to do something with these fish. So that's the same thing we want to do. When you read this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. That's what we want to do. That's the asset and the resource that we want to be to the local community, to the state of Pennsylvania, to the local church, to each and every individual that's in this room. Our goal is to be an asset to you, so that when you have a need, you know that you can call Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge right in Rehrsburg, and that we will have an answer for you. We will be able to provide help and guidance for you, and that we can help you today. And it's not going to be a prolonged process. When you think of the concept of being fishers of men, verses 10 and verses 11, and Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. What a powerful statement. Our goal is to see individuals leave those former lives behind, be freed from the bondage of addiction, experience spiritual renewal in Jesus Christ, and leave our center and build a positive legacy in their lives that is honoring to the Lord. What a great opportunity and what a great responsibility is for us to do everything in our power to provide the greatest services we possibly can, so you can see groups like these men right here leaving Teen Challenge, being productive members of society, honoring the Lord, honoring their community, being productive, being redemptive in the local community, working with legal jobs, being family men, and first and foremost, being committed to the Lord. So we thank churches such as this. We thank individuals within the congregation who are currently supporting us. We are excited to be a resource for you, and that's really our ultimate goal. So we thank you. I know we have a couple more items on the agenda this morning, but I want to pray for us. I want to pray for Teen Challenge. I want to pray for the local community. And just so that I don't forget, because Bob will, he'll get me if I don't forget, that we have a table outside and we have lots of information as well. So when you're on your way out, please stop by the table. We've got a lot of information to talk about the programs. We've got other memorabilia and things of that nature to check out. We've got our new brochures that talk about the new programming. We've got a lot of information to be a resource to you. So I'm going to pray, and then as I pray, the choir is going to come back up here, and they're going to conclude the service. So thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the ministry of Teen Challenge. Thank you for the many opportunities that you give us. Lord, we thank you for the life-changing work of Jesus, especially this week, Lord. As we go through this Passion Week, Lord, we are especially thankful for the work of Jesus Christ and the way in which he changes and transforms lives, Lord. We thank you that we can be part of that, not only us here, Teen Challenge, but also the Myerstown Church of the Brethren, Lord. And not only the church here at Myerstown, Lord, but Myerstown in general, and going out through the entire state of Pennsylvania, throughout the country, throughout the world. We thank you, Lord, for that great work. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us opportunities to be an asset and a resource to the folks sitting here today. That they would know, Lord, that we're there for them. That you would enable us, Lord, to be a source of information, Lord, and a source of help in the time of need. We thank you so much, Lord, again, for the many, many opportunities that you give us. Help us to be good stewards of the opportunities you provide us. And Lord, again, we thank you so much for the work of Jesus Christ and that we too can be counted righteous in him. So Lord, bless this church, bless this ministry, and may we do all things, Lord, for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Well, it's an honor to be here and to share with you guys what God has done in my life. You know, I'm from North Carolina. I'm 25 years old, so I'm a long way from home. God has just completely... I'm going to try to keep this as short as possible. God has brought me a long way. You know, I grew up in the church. I was saved at 9 years old. You know, but my once structured family that, you know, went to church every Sunday and, you know, come from like a blue-collar family. We worked hard and, you know, paid the bills. And, you know, we were a contributing member of society. But my dad got into an accident at work at a young age when I was a kid. And he started to use drugs or painkillers, and that led to drugs and other things. And that spiraled down to, the house became dysfunctional. My mom had left when I was like three, so, and I really didn't, it really didn't affect me at that time because I didn't understand, but, this once functional home became chaotic, and, I suffered many forms of abuse growing up. I was abandoned a lot, rejected. Though my dad was in the home, he really wasn't there. And, so I had this, you know, hypocritical lifestyle that I was living under. That was my example. Go to church on Sunday, you know, do drugs all week, you know, live this other life. So, but I was determined that I was going to be a successful man. I was going to graduate high school. I was going to go on to college, no matter what my family thought and no matter what my family did. And that was my mindset. And at age 16, I was kicked out of the house. I was bouncing from house to house, living with different friends. None of my family members wanted anything to do with me. I guess it was because of my dad's downward trend. I'm still not sure, but and I had an identity issue, man. I really did. I was, you know, there was all this hurt and anger, but I suppressed it. I didn't want to deal with it, and you know, I started seeking acceptance from other people, from people at school, girls, and you know, I just started experimenting with marijuana and going to parties. At first, it was just, you know, well, I'm not doing all these other hard, crazy drugs, and I'm just doing what everybody else does. I'm drinking on the weekends. This is normal. And that led to a 6-year addiction to alcohol. At age 21, I received my first DUI. Any attempt to pursue a college career was totally wasted because I was always wasted. And, you know, that just led me down a dark road. When I got that first DUI, I decided to move from the area I was living in. I moved to the beach of North Carolina because I thought that if I looked for my own way out of my problems, I could make it. So I moved to the beach. It didn't take long before I was drinking again. I hadn't had my license back maybe 4 months. And I was coming home from the beach, and I was highly intoxicated. I shouldn't have been driving. And I ran off the road and flipped my car 5 times. The cop said I was going 75 miles an hour. And by the looks of my car, man, I could have been going faster. I should not be alive today. There was this little pin in my car that was... an older lady had owned the car before me. There was this little pin in the visor that said, "There's a guardian angel in this car with you." And I didn't find it till later, till after the rep, when I was getting my stuff. So, you know, I would say that, you know, I'd like to say that I went to Teen Challenge right away and, you know, got some help, but that's not what happened. Once again, my biological mother who had left me when I was 3 was reaching out to me, and she thought it would be a good idea for me to move again to a little town called Albemarle, and I did that. I felt, you know, hey, I'm 23, man. I ain't got really much to look forward to anyway at this point. So, you know, I decided to move again, and this time it was a little different. I got back in church. I got a good job. I got my own place. I stopped drinking, but I still hadn't dealt with things. You know, I still hadn't dealt with some of the stuff that was a lot of the things that were suppressed, you know, inside of me, And now that I look back in hindsight, I was too worried about my relationship with the people at church and what people thought of me again than I was Jesus. And I had forgotten my first love from an early age. And it didn't take long for the problems of life and the pressures of life to get a hold of me again. And those things that I dealt with as a kid started to resurrect in my mind. You know, and I always wondered, why did my family do this to me? Why did they not care? Because they still really don't have much to do with each other even to this day, but it's a work in progress. So
I started drinking again. I started, you know, doing the things that I did before, you know, and I wasn't completely sold out to Christ like I should be. And I started drinking again. And this time it wasn't, you know, with people. I wasn't partying. I wasn't going out to bars and doing the things I did, you know, earlier on in my mess. But I was just drinking at my house, man. I was miserable. I mean, I was just searching for somebody to talk to tell them. And, you know, and the futility of that and just the chaos and insanity of that finally started getting to me. And, you know, though I was functioning, and I was paying my bills and I was maintaining my house and living this secret life, you know, I had to consult with my pastor about it. You know, I talked to my pastor Paul back home. I said, "Pastor Paul, you know, I feel like I have a greater purpose than to just sit on my back porch and drink alcohol every night and then come to church and play church every Sunday." And, you know, he suggested teen challenge. And in my pride, I was not committing my life to 14 months of rehab or, you know, at this place. And I had my house, you know, I had this job, all this stuff. But deep down, I knew I had a greater purpose. And, you know, now that he knew about my addiction and now that the, you know, beans were spilled there, I stopped going to church because I was embarrassed. And, you know, I knew that he knew that I was a hypocrite. And, you know, and not once did he judge me. My church loves me so much. But one day, you know, about 3 weeks later, I decided I was going to go back to church. I had missed like 3 weeks in a row. And when I walked into my church, on the side of the seats where I normally sit was the Sand Hills Teen Challenge Choir, just like we are here. And they gave testimonies, and they told about God can do for addiction, and just, you know, man, I was just overwhelmed with the presence of the Lord that day, man. I was in tears. One of the, you know, leaders prayed for me, and, you know, but still I thought that, man, well, maybe I can just kick it, and this is just a sign that if I don't, I'm going to have to go. And so a couple weeks later, I found myself again just intoxicated. I was on my back porch, and this time it was different. All the things of my past just seemed to sweep over me like never before. And honestly, like, that was the first time I thought about killing myself. You know, I thought I didn't have a purpose, man. All those things my family abandoned in me, just the, you know, like, you're never going to be anything in life. You're a waste. Just all these things, the lies of the enemy kept coming in. And, you know, I listened to them, and I was like, you know what? I have no purpose in life. You know, I'm just born to be an addict. I'm just born to be a nobody. I'm not, you know, why would Jesus want somebody like me? I mean, I had my chance. And this little voice, man, you know, at the end of that, this little voice came in and said, "You know what to do. Pick up your cross. Follow me. Commit your whole life to me. Wholeheartedly come, give everything you own away, and go to Teen Challenge." So I called my pastor, and we set things up. And, you know, since I've been in Teen Challenge, God has truly showed me where my identity lies. It actually fuels my activity for Him. You know, now I serve Him. Now I know who I am in Christ. I've been bought with the price of His precious blood. And, you know, like Paul says in Galatians, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The past is gone. I'm healed from it. He's moved me past the past, given me purpose in life, and now I can stand here and say that I am a child of God. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and no demon in hell can take that from me." Thank you for letting me share.
In Christ alone,
God bless you all. That is the only way that we can stand and live an overcoming life in the power of Jesus Christ. And thank you so much for having us. May the Lord bless you.